from Romans 8, 1 through 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live in according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory.
It's interesting the dichotomy that Paul is using there, the idea of the difference between life and death, spirit or flesh. And it's interesting how when you're walking or being led by the desires of the flesh, it brings death, it brings fear. And I want you to pray for somebody. His name's Noe. I think I mentioned Noe before. But Noe is an acquaintance of mine, a very, just kind of goes along with the song, just a sweet, sweet spirit. I met Noe because of working at the counseling center in Waukesha at New Life Resources. Noe had finished up his schooling down in Chicago, and he was doing some interning with us at New Life. His goal was, once his time here was over and his education was over, he was going to go back to the Republic of Congo where he lives. In the Republic of Congo, it's a very dangerous place. He lives in the city of Beni. And in the city of Beni, it's just along the edge of jungle. And because it's along the edge of the jungle, there are marauders that are living in the jungles who come in and just wreak havoc in the city. You just never know when. So could you imagine living in a place, living in a time where you don't know what was going to happen in the middle of the night, because at night is when they would appear. And doesn't Scripture tell us that those who are evil do their evil in the darkness? So you think, you know, for us, we go to sleep and we think, oh, finally, the day's over. I get some rest. I can put my head on my pillow and maybe even think about what I'll have for breakfast in the morning. Well, the people of Beni don't go to sleep with that convenience. There have been time and time we get reports about how the marauders will come out of the jungle and just steal people out of houses, taking children to kind of brainwash them into being a part of their army of rebellion. Parents not seeing their children. And he goes back home in hopes that he can bring healing to people, both spiritually and emotionally. Providing trauma counseling for people who've gone through probably worse trauma than any of us could probably imagine. Hopefully none of you have experienced. But if your experience with trauma is even close to that, you know how it can just take over every thought during every waking moment. But then we got report this week that not only are they in fear of people coming out of the jungles, but there's also been in Beni a breakout of Ebola. Trying to keep this disease that just devastates communities. It's easily contagious. Trying to serve God in a place like that, that's so filled with darkness. One of the things in the email he sent was, why God? We're trying to do such good work here. We're trying to bring so much light here. Why God? Why this darkness? Why more darkness? When we are just trying to serve you for your light. Well, one of the things that we come to realize in life, that there is great loss. That the world is not the way we wish it would be. And sometimes we get confused because we think that God likes the world the way it is, or he would do something about it. The confines, the way God has created this world, is creating it in a way where he calls us to him to walk in relationship with him so that there is light in community. But along with that freedom, there is also the freedom to choose darkness. And when people choose darkness over light, they're looking for that instantaneous gratification because they think that only in this world can they get what will satisfy. And when you think about how this life is just full of loss because it's not the way it's supposed to be, we also have to realize that God grieves it also. You just read in the report of Noah, when he said the minds of humanity were on evil all the time. And God was grieved that he even made humanity. Have you ever tried to bring blessing to someone and just keep trying to give it to him, trying to give it to him, and every time you tried to give it to him, they said, thanks, but no thanks. Because your blessing comes with strings attached that I just really don't want attached to me. Because to embrace the blessing that you're trying to give me, it's going to force me to have to choose a certain way of living. And your way of living, I've got to wait for ultimate satisfaction. And I'd rather work on that for myself now. And we become our own God. And when we think of the darkness that prevails in this world, we realize how hopeless it is for so many people, and how often we can feel the deep darkness of hopelessness. Scripture is clear about how a hope deferred makes the heart sick. The things that you long for that just aren't arriving, that just aren't coming. How long, Lord? He says, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And the challenge for us, as we're in the midst of a world that is filled with darkness, but has also got the light of Christ in it. Because Christ came into the darkness to bear light. And when Jesus comes as light, other people enjoy the light, embrace the light. We're filled with light. And last week we talked about the events at Pentecost when these people who were probably just overwhelmed with grief, that the world in which they imagined with a Messiah sitting on his throne was not going to be the life that they were going to live until they died. That this Jesus wasn't going to set up a throne on earth, but he was going to sit on his throne in heaven. That he was going to leave them behind to work in this world as messengers to the light, messengers of his kingdom. But not messengers who are left alone without hope, without power, without purpose. We saw in Pentecost, as we talked about it last week, where the people, the disciples at one time were hiding behind locked doors. But then all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them and they have hope again. Their grief is turned to hope. And now, in the midst of a world of darkness, they have something to offer the world that the world can't get on its own. That they have something that Jesus gave them that they couldn't get on their own. And as now they pour out into the streets and the Spirit has filled them with His power, with His words, to proclaim hope to a world that is in darkness. The people sat there and they listened to the apostles and they're speaking in our languages. What does this mean? And the Spirit is saying, pay attention. Peter is saying, pay attention. God is saying, pay attention. Remember the God who promised. The God who promised fulfills, and this is a fulfillment of those things. And this Jesus who you killed was a fulfillment of the promise of a coming king, of a coming kingdom, of a new way of thinking, a new way of living. And ultimately it got down to the point where the people had to make a choice. What way were they going to live? What focus were they going to live for? And finally they realized, if this is true, the thing that we hope for all our lives, we killed. Is there any hope for us? And Peter says, yes, there's hope for you. Repent of your old way. Repent of your old mindset that said, seek it your way. Repent of just plain old religiosity, because these were Jewish people who were probably going to synagogue. He says, it's more than just being religious. It's being a child of God. Because in being religious, you can look a certain way, but it might not be that way to your core. But being spiritual is about taking the light and pouring it in. And as it seeps into our being, every place it goes, it turns those places into light as we allow it. Because again, God will not do anything by force on us to follow or to rebel. That's our choice that he gives. And in this time of Pentecost, one of the promise of Jesus that was fulfilled, he says, I am going away. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This community, this heavenly community, he says, you're going to bury them, their sinfulness. You're going to proclaim righteousness because the Spirit of God is going to come into that temple that has been polluted by your sin. And now that you're buried in baptism, it washes the sin away, opening up for the Spirit to indwell in you, to empower you. And the community of God will be not just with you, but it'll be in you. He says, then you'll go out and you'll teach people to obey all things that I've commanded. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. They won't be with us, but you're leaving. In what ways are you saying you're going to be with us? He says, because I'm going to send the Spirit to you. My Spirit to you. So as Jesus leaves, they're not abandoned. And man, what is it like to feel abandoned? What is it like to feel that when there is something that you love, something that you just want to hold on to, all of a sudden takes its last breath and moves on to the next life? What is it like when you're in a job that is feeding your family and all of a sudden they come to you and they tell you we're downsizing? What is it like when you're in a relationship where you think that all things are going well and they tell you, well, you know, I don't think it's working out. And they found someone else to pursue, something else to pursue. And when those things happen in our life, we grieve those things because the world in which we knew is no longer the same. We mourn those things because now we have to do something. We either have to try to recreate what we once had and try to get back which once was, or we have to let it go. We have to let it go and come to realize the world as it was is not the world as it is anymore. And that takes time and it's heart-wrenching. And that's why we need community around us so that we don't walk that path of darkness alone, that we have people that are filled with light, throwing their arms around us saying, I know it's hard. Just know you're loved. And we don't use platitudes and say, oh, it'll be okay. Really? Never say that to someone who's in grief. What do you say to someone in grief? Don't say anything. Be quiet. Let them talk. Because they're trying to rearrange in their mind, how am I going to live in a world that is no longer the same? And they can be thrown into the depths of hopelessness. Your, oh, it'll be okay, does not bring light into that darkness. We climb as Jesus into their darkness with them. We walk with them in their darkness. And Jesus says, when I'm leaving, you're going to think it's going to be dark, but I'm sending you light. I'm going to be with you. My Spirit will guide you. He says, love one another. Keep my commands. Ask of the Father and He will give you an advocate, the helper. He will be with you forever, a Spirit of truth. So that we can understand this darkness, this world that's broken. So that we can live in truth of hope that there's something beyond this dark, broken world. That we can realize that even in this dark, broken world, I can be filled with light. So I too can bring hope to other people. We get mission and purpose from that. And there are going to be times with this truth people just won't be able to accept. Because they don't either want to see it, they don't want to hear it. Because the darkness has so filled them. In their judgment of us, we can't fear it. He says, but you know Him, for He lives with you. He will be in you. And finally, at Pentecost, the disciples came to realize what it was that God and Jesus wasn't just going to be with them walking the streets together. Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Spirit not to just walk with you. I'm going to give you the Spirit to live in you. So why is it, if the Spirit of God is living in us, who've committed our lives to Him, who've been washed and the Spirit has filled us, why is it that we can feel so alone, so abandoned? It's because Satan has blinded our eyes to the hope-filled reality that God is in heaven, Jesus has won the victory, and my Spirit is here to fill you, to guide you, to protect you. And even when it costs you your life, I've protected your spirit unto salvation. I'm raising your vision to something that is beyond this life, so that you can live in this life well, not just for the sake of yourself, but also for the sake of others. And in this leading, it's interesting, this passage of Scripture, he says, we're freed from the law. The Spirit gives life. It frees you from a law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because of the weakness of the flesh, and we all understand the weakness of the flesh, don't we? We're all battling the weakness of the flesh every day, aren't we? Satan's always there trying to bring life back into the flesh, isn't he? Trying to get you to remember how good it was when you lived according to your fleshly desires and how good it was when you satisfied them and it satisfied for a moment. Remember that, Satan will say. Remember that. And then we give into it. We go, yeah, I remember that and it feels kind of good, but oh man, I feel so bad now. That good feeling just left. It just went away and Satan laughs. Ha ha, I got you again. Because you think it'll satisfy, but it won't. Anything Satan offers you will not satisfy. Only what Jesus offers you will satisfy. And the law was powerless to bring that hope. But what Jesus does, he comes and condemns sin and sinful flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law can be fully met in us. Not in our doing, but in Jesus' doing. He's the one that satisfies the law. He's the one that causes us to say, thank God that in my sinful nature, I don't have to pull myself up into heaven by goodness. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so good that God can cleanse me of my evil, so that now I can strive to be good. And even when I fall short, you look at me as cleansed and good and love. This law fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is going to be your shepherd? It's interesting, this guide word here is a word, it's a shepherd word. It's walking, a walking with word. Jesus comes and he calls people to him. And as he walks, he looks to see if anybody will follow. Those who hear his voice, who know his voice, will follow. Those who want to listen to what he has to say will follow. He doesn't force. He doesn't drive. And he says, this same Spirit of mine will come and be in you and will lead you if you will let it lead you. But so often that transformative process that strives to get us to stop looking at the momentary, temporary gratification, but look for something that is so much worth living for, so much worth dying for, so much more worth sacrificing for. But we can forget, because our body, our flesh has a memory, and Satan works on that memory. Remember how good it felt. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement by being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete. Be like-minded. Well, this like-mindedness is making a decision. What am I going to focus on? Am I going to focus on the loss, the darkness, the death? Or am I going to focus on the hope, the life, the glory of what God is calling me to? Because if I'm focusing on what is lacking, I will always feel like it's lacking. And it doesn't bring hope, it brings hopelessness. But when our mind is in likeness with the Spirit, when our mind is in likeness as a community, then as a community we can go out and be people who demonstrate a life that is lived differently before the people, the world. And though the Spirit of Jesus comes and lives in his people, the Spirit isn't Jesus, the Spirit is distinct, it's separate. It's finishing the work. Jesus had a mission to redeem humanity. He says, my work's done. Now I'm sending my Spirit to have the further mission of God completed through you. And like I said last week, we're going, us? Is this a joke? You're going to use me to bring about your kingdom that will last for eternity, that takes people from death to life. And he says, yes. And knowing me, I can look to God and say, that is the most foolish thing that I've ever heard. And God says, that's because you don't know. That's because you can't believe that someone like you can be filled with my glory, who can be led by my Spirit, who can exemplify my glory day to day, even while Satan is trying to whisper in your ear to think of yourself as an old crackpot. Because it's not the pot. It's not the jar of clay. It's the glory that I fill it with. Will you let me fill you? Will you let me guide you? Will you let me empower you? And we either say yes or no. Oftentimes we may say yes, but then say, but I'm not going to let it happen because I don't think it can happen. What is the Spirit trying to do for us? The Spirit is there to function as our guide, to glorify the Christ. The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. Well, the guiding again is, are you following it into truth? He's not going to put a leash around your neck and drag you into truth. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he has made known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I have said the Spirit you receive from me, he will make it known to you. And the Spirit not only functions as to make, give us awareness, but it's our advocate, our helper, that he sends from the Father the Spirit of truth that he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And he's saying that before they're filled with the Spirit. So we who now are filled with the Spirit go out and testify about what he's done for us, what he can do through us. In this passage in Peter, I love this. He says, now because of what Christ has done for you, Christ's suffering in this body, he says, now that you know what Christ has done for you, arm yourself also with the same attitude. It's a mindset, people. It's a changing of what we're going to focus on. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly life for evil human desire, that not that flesh that Paul was talking about, but rather for the will of God. Why would you want to live for the will of God? Because you know the hope for which it's calling you towards. And when you forget the hope, you start living in the world again. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery and lust and drunkenness and orgies and carousing, detestable idolatry. And they're surprised that you do not join them in this recklessness, this wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So he's trying to get them to realize that you stop being led by these other people. Are there people in your life you just got to stop being around? People who are filling you with darkness, who are dragging you into darkness, and you're not going kicking and screaming. You're going maybe a little reluctantly, but you're doing it on your own. Or will you be led by the Spirit to allow him to take you to where he wants to be? And 2 Corinthians says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we are all with unveiled faces reflecting the Lord's glory and being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes through the Lord who is the Spirit. So this is the transformative process that you realize that, yeah, there's things I'm wrestling with, things that are not transformed yet. God says, I know. Don't beat yourself up about that. Keep your focus. Know where you're going. Know that feeding that leads to death. Know that feeding this brings life. What are you going to choose to eat today? And it's in every single moment, every single decision. What are you going to feed on? Jesus says, feed on me. And I will bring you maturity. I will bring you strength. But then we also have to know when we do that, there will be people who don't like that we're being distinct and they'll heap abuse on us. But when we're doing this, we have freedom. Freedom to be a light and not worry about what people say. Because when we worry about people say, we're worried about their judgment. And when we're worried about their judgment, we're giving to them a power over our life to define our worth. He says, stop doing that. Those people can't define your worth. They don't even know what worth is. So stop trying to please them. Walk with me. And whether they're pleased or not, won't matter. But you'll be able to take solace knowing that I'm pleased. And you won't make those bad decisions that are guided by the flesh. So he gives us this freedom, freedom from legalism. Rules that just kind of mask over the majesty of Jesus. This freedom of the impulse of living for the flesh. The Spirit is there to guide us, to lead us, to coach us. Now, I had coaches that would tell me what to do. Then it was my decision if I was going to believe what they were going to tell me to do, what was going to work. It was interesting when I did it my way, it just didn't seem to work so well. And I remember distinctly one time when I did it exactly the way the coach told me to do it. I was like, wow, I can't believe that just happened. And the coach is probably going over there, yeah, finally. And don't you think the Spirit's like that too? Saying, Jeff, just let go. You think you know what's best. You don't. You can't even see the next hour. I see your whole life. Trust me. Let me lead you. But I'm afraid. Afraid of what? I don't know, but I'm afraid. Well, you're afraid of the unknown future that you can't handle it. But when I'm in you, you don't have to worry about that. Stop worrying about it, Jeff. And just be a light right now. And I just have to let go. Oh, it's so hard to let go, isn't it? But he says, let go. It's like the kid standing on the side of the pool that wants to go in the water because, man, they're having so much fun. But to let go of this means I'm going to have to dive into that. And I'm not sure if I'm going to come back to the surface or not. And the parents, they're going, don't worry about it. You might go under, but you're not going to stay there. We have to have the same mentality that the Spirit of God that isn't just around us, but is in us, is going to be there to catch us. And when we go through those difficult times where we might even have to pour out our life unto death, he says, don't even fear that. Because physical death means nothing when you have eternal life. But when we forget we have eternal life, physical death becomes all-consuming. And gets our mind focused on those things. He says, reflect on me. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm. Who is it that helps us stand firm? Is it you and your power? He doesn't say, by your strength, by your will, by your power, do you stand firm? Because by your strength, by your power, how firm have you been able to stand so far? He says, it's God who makes us stand firm in Christ. He anoints us with the Spirit. He sets his seal of ownership on us. He puts his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, a guaranteeing of something to come. But when we walk around the world thinking more and focused on our past life, our darkness, our sinful nature, instead of focusing on what God is doing in us, through us, and for us, we forget that we've been anointed. We forget that we've been sealed. We forget we have this promise. We forget it's guaranteed. And it's not guaranteed by our effort. It's guaranteed by His. And he calls to say, so now how are you going to live? Are you going to live according to the sinful nature? Or are you going to live to try to kill it off? You're going to try to live according to light. He says, for a while, as we live in this tent, we groan. Do you groan? Man, I groan sometimes. Because we don't wish to be unclothed, but be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. But we're not there yet. So there's loss, there's grief. The world isn't the way it should be. But God says, yes, but with you in it, it's going to be more the way it should be than without you in it. And we go, what? How can that be? He says, because I'm in you. The world will be different because I'm in you. Stop thinking about you. It's my power in you. But Satan wants us to keep thinking about ourselves, our weakness. He says, no. As we groan, the mortal will be swallowed up in life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God. We have a purpose. Have you felt purposeless? Not anymore. Not now. You got a purpose. To be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. He says, that is your purpose, and I will fashion you into that purpose by the Spirit that is a deposit guaranteeing on what is to come. That's the hope, folks. And when we forget the hope, we forget our power, we forget our purpose. He says, and as you were included in Jesus when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is now a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. We are his possession to the praise of his glory. As a cracked pot is a clay vessel filled with glory, the glory is his. And we can sit back and say, thank you, God, that you chose something like me to declare your glory, to carry your blessing. And Satan, get behind me when you try to tell me I'm not worthy. Because the God of heaven and earth says that I am. I refuse to listen to you anymore telling me I'm worth less because I am worth so much more than I ever imagined because of the Spirit he has put in me as my deposit. Remember when the Israelites were in Egypt and he was going to free them out of their captivity. He says, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to keep this lamb, treat it like it's one of your own. But you know, after a week, you're going to have to kill that lamb. This thing that you've grown to love, this thing that you cared about, you're going to kill it. The life of it is going to drain out. You're going to take some of that blood that, and you're going to be in mourning that you had to kill the thing that you came to love. And you're going to take that blood and you're going to smear it all over the door. And people are going, that doesn't make any sense. That's so silly. He says, but let me tell you what it means. That thing that you love, that thing that gave its life, it gave its life for you. And when you take its blood and you smear it over the doorframe, when the destroying angel comes, who's going to separate those who are in darkness from those who are light, he's going to come, and when he sees that blood on the doorpost of that thing that you love, that you drained the life out of, its life is going to save your life in the life of the oldest male in your home. Well, that just doesn't make any sense. He goes, oh, so you want to do it your way? You mean you want to do it so that you're in control, so that you can have it all figured out? Yeah, because then I feel a lot more comfortable. He says, I'm not worried about your comfort. I'm worried about your salvation. I'm worried about your captivity. I'm worried about your slavery. I want to free you. You want to stay a slave? Stay a slave. You want to be free? Follow me. And just obey when it seems so strange. So the Spirit is like the blood on the doorpost. It's a seal guaranteeing us. And, you know, the words we use kind of give us away. Don't, if you're a person who has said, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus, that you said, yes, I want to repent of my sins, like, you know, in Acts, that you're buried with Christ and you're raised with him in newness of life and you receive the Spirit, that stamp, that seal, that power, that strength. If God is living in you, don't say anymore, God, come be with me. God, come into my presence. Because what you're saying in those words is you don't believe God is in your midst. You don't believe God is in your heart. You don't believe that God is filling you. Because what you're saying is that I'm still detached from God. The Spirit of Christ in you says no. Satan wants you to say yes. The Spirit says, no. We need to say no. Can you say no to Satan? I heard one yes. Thank you. We got one. Everybody come over here with Scott later, and he's going to teach you how to say yes so that we can say no to Satan. Because Satan, we've been giving him too much power for too long. And Jesus has come to free us from that. Will you let him free you from that? So as Spirit-filled people, our mission now, our purpose now, is to reflect Jesus in life. We were talking earlier in classes, but I don't know what God has planned for me. I do. I know exactly what God has planned for you, to reflect Jesus. Oh, yeah, I get that, Jeff, but I mean the big thing, you know, this grand thing. And don't worry about that. Just reflect Jesus today. And as you're reflecting Jesus, you know that the Spirit is going to guide your life as you're reflecting Jesus. And you're not going to have to worry about it. Because when you get into those situations that you don't think you're going to know what to say, maybe don't say anything. Because a lot of times, I don't know what to say. I'll look foolish. Then keep your mouth shut. You won't look foolish. And if the Spirit guides you to say something, open your mouth. Let the Spirit talk. Stop trying to do it on your own. Because you can't do it. So we have Spirit-guided life. A Spirit-sustained life. That even when it's hard, even when it's dark, even when my community has marauders coming into it, stealing the children away, killing people at random, a deadly disease raging through it, trying to get away from such darkness. Know that even though the world is in darkness, the Spirit of God remains a light. And don't let the world's darkness dampen that light. Because we're going to say, it's a not my will be done life. Because that's what Jesus died for. A not my will be done life. Kind of quiet. I hope there's a reason for that. But I hope that when you walk out of here, you walk out of here different people than what you walked in. I hope that the Spirit of God has convinced you to allow Him to take that step of trust as you walk out the door. I hope that the message that the Spirit has given you today will empower you to know that you have value and worth in spite of what anybody else says. I hope the Spirit of God gives you confidence and courage, and that fear is driven away because it doesn't matter what comes my way. I know that the Spirit of God is living in me and He will see me through it. His way, not mine. I know I can face anything because God is with me. That's what the Spirit wants you to know. As you walk out of here today, to be His light. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never been buried with Him in baptism, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, let's talk and find out what that means. Because it's going to give you a hope if you just trust it, that will never fade away. But as a community of people, who can feel so overwhelmed by the darkness that the world is pushing on us, let us, like that 120 on Pentecost, stand up and be filled with light no matter what comes our way. Whatever your need, whatever your concern, we can pray with you now as we stand and give God praise.
I stand.